While back, I was asked the question, why do we study the Old Testament? Why spend the time? I mean, is the Christian under the Old Testament system of justification? Is the Old Testament authoritative regarding the work and the worship and the organization of the church? No. Well, if not, why even bother reading it, let alone studying it? Well, it's true. Christians are not under the Old Testament. And we need to know that, and we need to understand it. As a matter of fact, Gentile Christians, which we all are, non-Jewish Christians, were never under the Old Testament. Never under the Old Covenant. There's one thing that many people don't realize, even Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were never under the Old Testament law, under the Ten Commandment law. If you go back and look in the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter, the Old Covenant was made with those who were there at Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, some translations put it. Verse 3 tells us that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it says the word fathers, were not under the Old Testament, under the Jewish law. As a matter of fact, Paul made quite a deal in Acts the 15th chapter about Titus as a Gentile Christian not even required to be circumcised or to keep the law at all. Well, what about the Jewish Christians? Well, they've been delivered from the old law. They don't have to keep it anymore. Romans, the 7th chapter, and let's take a look at that. Romans 7 and verse number 1. So, do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, in other words, I'm speaking to Jewish Christians, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. The woman has a husband, is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. So then, here's the lesson that I'm going to draw off of this. If while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she marries another. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear the fruit of God. Paul is telling us in writing this letter that the Jewish Christians were dead to the law when the law died, when the law was taken out of the way. And that's exactly what we're told in the book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 14, 15, and 16, that by his death on the cross, Jesus took that old law away, no longer to be obeyed. Now, you know, it's unfortunate, and I've run into it several times over the years that I've been preaching. Some conclude from this that we don't need to read it at all. We don't need to spend any time studying it at all. Is that a proper attitude? Not at all. Not at all. This attitude is not only wrong, it's contrary to the teachings of the New Testament itself. Of the New Testament itself. And we need to know and to understand that it's depriving us of a wonderful source of peace and of comfort if we don't spend time reading the Old Testament law. And it prevents us from gaining great wisdom, great understanding concerning the life that now is and the life of that which is to come. How wonderful it is to be in the study of the Old Testament. So I'm going to look at just four passages tonight. I'd like you to get your Bibles out and follow along with me, because I think it's important that we be able to explain to our friends and be able to get it settled in our own minds, why study the Old Testament? Well, Romans 15, in verse number 4 is where we're going to start. Notice carefully what it says. For the things which were written before the New Testament, that would be the Old Testament then, were written for our learning. God had the Old Testament written down and preserved so that we might learn from it. It's for our benefit. And we dare not ignore it. Now, what are we going to learn from this study of the Old Testament? Let's go back to our text, Romans 15:4, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. Patience and comfort and hope. I can't think of three words that we need much more in this frantic time that we live in. Anybody got any spare spots in your day planner for next week that you just don't know what, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do all day Thursday. I've got absolutely nothing to do. I don't know. I'm going to go nuts trying to find something to do. No, I haven't had a day like that in a long time. But we need to have patience. We need to have comfort. And we need to have hope. And we can gain all of that from the New Testament. We can study the record of God and how He keeps His promises. And one of the things He does is it doesn't happen instantly. We can see that it sometimes takes a long time for God to keep His promises. But He kept His promise to Abraham. He kept His promise to the nation of Israel. He kept His promise to the world, that through Abraham all the world would be blessed. But folks, that was hundreds of years later. Hundreds of years later. The Old Testament gives us a record of how God kept His promise to judge the wicked, kept His promise to avenge the righteous. You ever get discouraged and frustrated and look around and say, you know, it just doesn't seem fair? Look at all these drug dealers driving around in great big expensive cars and living in big houses and have money to throw away, and here I am struggling along trying to obey God, and it just doesn't, I mean, you look at some of the huge churches there are around here, and it's not fair. Here we are struggling along, trying to obey God, trying to worship the way He wants us to, trying to be the people He wants us to be, and they're growing like mad and we're not. God's promise to avenge the righteous. He promises that He'll take care of that. Don't you worry about it. He's promised to forgive the penitent and protect the humble. And we can read the Old Testament and see where He did it time after time. The history of the Old Testament, in other words, is intended to give us hope. To give us hope that God will keep His promises to us. To me, to you. Second thing, not only was it written for our learning, if you'll turn over to the next book, 1 Corinthians, and this time go to the 10th chapter, we're going to look at the first 10 verses there, where Paul tells the Corinthians that Israel's fall in the wilderness is something that they need to be concerned about. And then look at verse number 11. Now these things happened to them as examples, and they were written. Why were they written down? Why was that story kept for us? They were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Paul is reminding us that those stories of the things that happened to the Old Testament people were written to warn us, to admonish us. Therefore, our benefit. Well, New Testament writers often used things that happened in the Old Testament as ways to warn and to admonish and to appeal to New Testament Christians. The writer of Hebrews, we looked at it several times in Hebrews the 3rd chapter in verses 12 through 19. goes back and appeals to the folks of the Old Testament time and said, therefore, you be faithful. James does the same thing in James, the fifth chapter. Peter does the same thing in 2 Peter, 2nd and 3rd chapters, are all accounts of the Old Testament characters. Talks about Job and the patience that he needed, and that we need to have the patience of Job. We need to see and understand the Bible, the Old Testament Bible, was written first for our learning and then for our admonition. First, God tells us, here's what happened. Now, don't let it happen to you. That's what it's there for. Now, if you look over in 2 Timothy, you're going to see where Paul tells Timothy, there's another reason why the Old Testament's there, another reason for us to be thankful that we have it, and that it's able to make us wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to be looking at 14 and 15. Paul writes to Timothy, this young man, he said, you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them. And that's his mother and his grandmother. That from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now folks, there wasn't any Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when Timothy was a young man. There was no Romans through Revelation when he was a young man. The only Holy Scriptures he had were the Old Testament. Timothy, as a New Testament Christian here, is being told, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We can read the Old Testament and become wise regarding salvation in Christ. Not only are they there for our learning, that we might have patience and comfort and hope, not only are they there to warn us the dangers of falling away from God, the Old Testament is there so that we can have the strength that it can give us. The Old Testament tells us about the fall of man. The Old Testament tells us about the rise of sin. The Old Testament gives us the background and the development of the Jewish nation and God's scheme of redemption. The Old Testament gives us hundreds of messianic prophecies that we can be sure that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We can have faith through him. You cannot hope to understand the books of the New Testament, many of them, without having some knowledge of the Old Testament, particularly the book of Hebrews. If you don't understand the Levitical priesthood, at least a little bit, it's going to be hard to understand. We talked about it just this morning. There was a sprinkling that took place, and there was a washing that took place. If you don't understand that that's relating back into the Old Testament times to what happened in the book of Deuteronomy to Aaron and his family, then what in the world is he talking about? It doesn't make any sense. But if you studied the Old Testament, if you've read the Old Testament, if you sat and meditated upon it, how does that relate to us? Then when we read about having our conscience sprinkled with the blood of Christ and having our bodies washed with pure water, we know that it's talking about us being consecrated as priests of God. We understand the significance of it. The book of Revelation is a book that is just almost impossible to understand if you don't understand some of the apocalyptic writing, Daniel and Ezekiel of the Old Testament. If you don't understand the prophecies that are in the Old Testament, the book of Revelation will drive you insane. And it has a lot of people. They have come up with some crazy, crazy explanations to the things that are there that don't fit biblically at all, and it's because they don't know the Old Testament. So that they can look at the book of Revelation through the eyes of the ones that were going to receive it, who did know the Old Testament, who understood those prophecies. The book of, the Old Testament is there to make us wise unto salvation in Christ. Studying the Old Testament is so imperative to be able to understand the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3, down at the end of the chapter, verse 16 says, all Scripture, that includes Old Testament, New Testament, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Old Testament is profitable to make us complete and to equip us for every good work. Like I said, when it says all Scripture, that includes the Old Testament. How many of us would be happy if time to collect the paycheck, the boss gives you half of it? Said, well, you know, you don't need the other half. I'll keep it. I think we might discuss that with him. How do you think God feels? He's given us the whole Bible. He's given us all Scripture. And we say, well, I only need half of it. I don't want the other half. It's got too many names in there that I can't pronounce. It's got too many cities in there that I don't know where they are or what was going on. It's too hard. Folks, the Old Testament, we're told in this passage, is profitable for doctrine. Teachings about the nature of God, the promises of God, the fidelity of God, teachings about man, teachings about sin, the doctrine that we need to know in order to be wise unto salvation. It's also there for reproof, if you'll look at the text. It's there to tell us that we need to repent when we sin. We can look at David, we can look at Abraham, we can look at Isaac, we can look at Jacob, we can look at the whole nation of Israel, the nation of Judah, and see the tremendous need there is for repentance when sin comes into our lives, into the camp, as they would say, into the Old Testament. We need to know God forgives if we accept the reproof. And then it says the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, is good for instruction in righteousness. How to live godly lives. Most all of you go with us up when we go up to Willowbrook, and you know that I like to preach out of the book of Psalms. And I like to teach out of the book of Proverbs. There's nothing that will help you to live a godly life much more than the book of Proverbs. There's nothing that will teach you how to pray more than the book of Psalms. Teach you how to relate to God. Teach you how folks should be talking to Him and how to live a righteous life. Again, The apostles and the writers of the New Testament often appealed to the Old Testament concerning how to live. Not only how to be admonished and to be warned, but how we ought to stay on the right way, do the right kinds of things. Romans the 12th chapter, 2 Corinthians the 6th chapter, the ninth chapter, Paul uses it over and over and over again. You've got to live a righteous life. And gives Old Testament examples of that. In the book of James, the second chapter, verses 20 through 26, James gives us the illustration of living righteous lives and how we need to do. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 12. Peter warns us and encourages us and tries to convince us that we need to live a Christian life by going back and appealing to what they did in the Old Testament day and how they were punished when they didn't. Oh, there's so much we can learn from the Old Testament concerning truth and concerning righteousness. The Old Testament is an extremely valuable study and one that we need to be willing to spend the time with. Is it as easy to understand as the New Testament? Probably not, because we've studied the New Testament more. We understand those concepts. We understand those verses. Sure, there's a lot of names in there that I tangle my tongue up over. Lots of places I have to look in the back of the Bible and find on a map and find out where they are, because I don't know. And then I'll look at it and say, you knew that. But is it worth it? Is it worth it? Well, you know, Don, shouldn't we just study the scriptures pertaining to the covenant in which we live? I was asked that specific question. Well, I thought about it for a moment, and one of those rare moments of a thought came to me when you want it to. You know, how many times have you walked away and said, why didn't I say this? Well, this was one of those times when I actually thought it, right when I was asked. And I kind of scratched my head and I said, well, what you're saying is the Jews should have just ripped Genesis right out of their Bible. They should have discarded the first 19 chapters of Exodus when in the 20th chapter, they received the Ten Commandments. Is that what you think? Well, no, the fellow said. You can't tear it out of the Bible. I said, why? You're not supposed to study it. You're not supposed to read it. It's just carrying extra weight around. Why don't you just get it? You know, you think that Moses should have just taken a knife and cut Genesis and the first 19 chapters of Exodus out of the roll that he said, no. And I said, well, then why should we cut the Old Testament out? What? They weren't under that law anymore. They didn't have to do what Abraham and Isaac and Jacob did. They didn't have to do like Job did. That was the first law. They're under the Mosaic law. Exodus, the 20th chapter. We need to know that's no good. I mean, you think about it. Should we discard the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? They're part of the Old Testament in a way. Jesus was living according to the Old Testament law. He was, the folks were still there under Old Testament law. Jesus lived and died under Old Testament law. Should we discard the Gospels? Are we wasting our time on the study of Luke because, you know, we're not? No. No, not at all. We shouldn't ignore the Old Testament either. It provides the background and it provides the setting of the New Testament. It is an important study. Much in the way of learning, much in the way of admonition, much in the way of comfort and hope, and even wisdom concerning salvation is found in the Old Testament. We need to be careful. Think we ought to go to the basement? Okay. I think we probably should too. Let's go to the basement. It works down here? Okay, cool. Okay. Had a lot of experiences. I've never had to go in the basement for a tornado watch. I was talking about reasons to study the Old Testament and why it was so important. It's not just the covenant we're under. The Bible was written by God, not just part of it. But all of it, he wrote it for a reason, and it did its job. We need to be careful to not neglect that which was written for us, that it was preserved for us for our benefit. It's not just for folks of the Old Testament time. It's for us, just like Genesis and Exodus 1 through 19 was for Moses, so that they could understand what happened during the times before them and how God kept his promises. We need to be careful not to neglect that. We need to be sure that we spend time studying the New Testament, but we need to put part of our time, part of our reading, into a study of the Old Testament. We need to understand Romans 15:4 that we've already looked at, that these things were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We're losing the hope that we can have. We're losing the comfort that we can have. We're losing the patience that we need to understand that God doesn't answer just like that. Sometimes it took him 2 and 3 generations or more to fulfill a promise to someone. So it may not even be in your lifetime that God is going to answer your prayer, but that doesn't mean God doesn't answer prayers. We sometimes think if it doesn't happen in my time frame, when I want it to happen, then God doesn't love me anymore. God doesn't care. But through a study of the Old Testament, we can see, and that's why they were written, so that we can gain that patience. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 11, says, "Now these things happen to them as examples." God could look down through time and see Don needed somebody to go through this so that he can see, when it happens, I'll take care of it. So he had them go through it so that when I can look at it and read it, and it's an example for me. It's an example for you. It's an example for the congregation. And these things were written for our admonition, upon whom the end come. We look through the Old Testament times, constantly talked about the coming Messiah. They constantly talked about the coming kingdom. They talked about the king that was to come. They talked about the servant who was to come to lead, and he's here today. These things were written for our admonition as examples to us. And remember, you know, all scripture is inspired of God. Not just New Testament. But God gave us the Old Testament for a reason. It fulfilled that reason, Galatians 5, when it led the Jews to come to Christ. It fulfilled its reason for being there when you study it today, when I study it today, so that we can be admonished and we can learn and we can follow the example that's there for us. And we can be made wise unto salvation through a study of the Old Testament. Now, this is kind of an unusual sermon. It's not a very evangelistic sermon. Forgot I had my phone on. It's not a lesson that is one that we can take and go out maybe and teach someone else. But it's one for us to be encouraged to live the kind of life that God wants us to live. If you look at yourself, you know, and you think, I don't know. I just don't know what it is that's going wrong with my life. I don't know why things aren't happening the way I want them to happen. Well, we can know through the patience and the comfort of the Scripture that we can have hope that God will take care of us, even through a tornado. God is there. So if we can help you in some way, if you need prayer of the congregation, please, won't you let that need be known as Andy leads us in the first and last verse of the songs.